welcome to Breaking Character, the podcast dedicated to Southwest Michigan's arts and entertainment scene. I'm Jeremy D. Bonfiglio.
And I'm Paul Mao. Breaking Character is sponsored by the Mendel Center at Lake Michigan College, the Harold Palladium, with additional support by Twin City Players and the Mason Jar Cafe. On today's episode, Bob Swan of Harbor Country Opera will join us in the studio to talk about his show, America Sings. We will hear a bit of Jeremy's interview with Melissa Etheridge, who performs this weekend at Four Winds Silver Creek Event Center, plus our weekly rundown of other events to check out this weekend.
First, though, the Box Factory for the Arts opens its biggest show of the year on Friday, the Michiana Annual Art Competition, or as we like to call it, the MAC Show. The local juried fine art exhibition, now in its 15th year, is held each June. It recognizes and rewards the work of our artists based right here in Southwest Michigan and Northern Indiana. Categories include photography, digital media, mixed media, painting, drawing, glass, sculpture, and ceramic, with a best in category winners each receiving $250 and the best of show winner taking home $2,000, as well as other merit awards to be announced during Friday's opening. Joining us in the studio today to talk about the MAC is Kara Garnett, the events and marketing manager over at the Box. Thanks, Kara, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So for those who may not be familiar with this particular show, tell us just a little bit more about it and you know, what the show kind of aims to do.
So you really talked a lot about it already, but yeah, you kind of got everything. So it's, like you said, our largest show of the year. And it's a really great way for everyone to see who's in Southwest Michigan, who's an artist, and what kind of awesome things we have. The show this year is amazing. There's really great pieces. There's not any that I'm like, oh, why did they choose that one?
But right.
But it's a really great show.
Awesome.
Well, does the jury select the winners every year?
Yeah. So we have three jurors every year. Mm-hmm. And we go through a process online where all the artists submit their work. They tell a little bit about their piece, what medium it is. And then the jurors go through and look at all of the images and decide which ones they like the best. So then it's through a point system. And then the ones with the highest amount of points, they get to be in the show. And the jurors are not allowed to see who the artist is. So it's completely blind. Yeah. So online, and when they come into see the work in person, they don't know who the artist is. Mm. So then after all the artists are selected to be into the show, they bring all their artwork in, and that takes quite a while because everybody is kind of far. Some of them are far away from here, so they have to drive and bring their stuff. But then the jurors come back in, and they come and do what we call our on-site jurying, and they decide who wins best of show and best of each category. And again, they don't know who the artists are when they're doing this.
But the artists are all regional. They're all from the area. Mm-hmm. You said some of them come from a long distance.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, like Michigan
an
and
hour
Indiana.
Away.
Like,
right.
Like Grand Rapids, you know,
right.
It's kind of far away too.
Uh-huh.
So,
right. Great.
And this year, we're going to have a little scoop here because most people don't know who won this thing, except for some of the winners. But Douglas LaFerl won best of show this year for his painting Balloon Dart, which is kind of interesting because he has won the MAC before, but for his, people might know him for his kinetic sculpture work. So so tell me just a little bit about Doug's work, and particularly this piece that was chosen best of show this year.
Yeah, so this is a piece, it's kind of like a carnival like atmosphere of it, and it's the balloon dart part of, you know, when everyone's trying to get prizes, and there's all the prizes in the background, and it's just a really fun piece, and it's very colorful, and I think it's something that will resonate with a lot of different people as well, just because it's a lot of people know what it's like to go to the carnival.
I have a crazy question. Are these pieces for sale?
Some of them are.
Sometimes.
So
most
of them are. The artist gets to choose how much they like to sell it for.
Are the price tags right on them, or do you just have to approach the artist yourself?
No, the price tags will be on them, and you can actually purchase them through the Box Factory.
Okay.
But some people have, you know, it's
their own
to them, so they put NFS, not for sale, on there. So that's
NFS.
What that means when you're looking at artwork.
Cool.
Now, I want to also mention that, you know, because I mentioned Doug's sculpture work, he also took the best sculpture category for one of his sculptures, Dreamcatcher, right?
Yeah, so yeah. He won best of show and also best of category. Wow. So that was another reason we want to make sure people know.
Wow.
So he's taken down 2250.
Yeah. So the jurors didn't, they were really surprised to know that it was the same artist.
Guy, yeah.
Mm-hmm, well, because you wouldn't know if you.
No, they look
two
very
totally different pieces of art.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's really cool.
Which is pretty amazing to be able to do such great work in two different categories.
Yeah.
And really be able to stand alone on each one as well.
Well, so. Kara, tell us, why don't we run down the rest of the category winners while we're at it.
So, photography, it is artist Vasilisa Kiselevich, and for her piece, Old Jerusalem. The digital media category was Darcy Lynn Young for her piece, Faith. The mixed media is Kaylee Dalton, and this was actually a little bit different as well. So she put in two pieces, and the jurors chose both of them as the winner because together they just really worked and they didn't really stand alone, each of them. So they're like, well, if they're both together, then she'll win this category. So we decided, well, I'm going to hang them together. So I think that's pretty fair. And then the drawing category is Mary Amador. I know she's won in the past as well. Her pieces are wonderful. And painting is Matt Pejovich for his Dog of Latitude. That one's another really fun one of this dog, and it shows his personality, and it's really cute. And then sculpture is Douglas Afferle, like we said. And then ceramic is Paul Flickinger for his 1,000 T-Bowls, which is a very different piece for the Box Factory. It's more of an installation.
Right.
And we actually have a video showing of how he did it. It's cool. He had 1,000 T-bowls, and there are some on pedestals, but then the rest he shattered. And they're all the shards are like around the piece. So it's pretty.
It's cool. I've seen a photo of it. It's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool. It's a cool piece. And then, well, why we have you in the studio, Kara, we should say it's a busy weekend there at the Box. Besides the Max Show, I know the Coastline Children's Film Festival, Summer Films at the Box. Series opens 7 o'clock tonight with Nellie's Adventure, and then at 7:30 p.m. Saturday, Lake Effect Jazz Big Band performs.
Awesome.
So tell me just a little bit about those events and how the summer is shaping up for you guys.
Yeah, so we have a lot of stuff going on. So the Children's Coastline Film Festival, they are having three movies this summer, and this is the first one, Nellie's Adventure, and then this Saturday, Lake Effect Jazz, which most people know about, know
Steve
that they're
Reed's
really great.
Band.
I've performed with them. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
So that will be really fun for Saturday. And then we have some other, what we call our Unwrapped series, which just feature different artists, musicians, and they're kind of throughout the summer. So you can see our calendar on our website if you want to check out what else is coming up.
Great.
Oh, perfect. Well, thanks again, Kara, for being here today. And for more about the Mac and this year's Best of Show winner, Doug LaFerle, check out my cover article in today's Sight and Sound section of the Herald Palladium, which, of course, is one of our sponsors here at Breaking Character. The opening reception for the Mac Show is 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Friday at the Box Factory for the Arts. They're at 1101 Broad Street in St. Joe. Admission is free, and if you can't make it to the reception but still want to come check out the art, the exhibition continues through July 29th in all three galleries during regular business hours. I should also mention admission to the Coastline Children's Film Festival film tonight is a suggested donation of $1. And admission to Saturday's Lake Effect Jazz concert is just $10. So for more information on these events and everything else happening at the Box, call 983-3688, or as Kara said, visit their website at boxfactoryforthearts.org.
Kara, thanks so much for everything you do, and we love the Box Factory and everything you do to get people in the door there and make the arts approachable to everybody in Southwest Michigan. You guys do an awesome job.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for being here.
We're going to have lots more.
Yes. All right. Great.
Thanks, Kara.
Harbor Country Opera opens its 2017 campaign on Saturday at the Acorn Theater in Three Oaks with America Sings. Coming just a few days after Flag Day and a few days before July 4th, this concert, filled with patriotic tunes, covers the gamut. From the nostalgic rural charm of Stephen Foster to the jaunty chest-slapping tunes of George Cohen. Bob Swan, the impresario behind Harbor Country Opera, is here in the studio with us to talk about this concert. Thanks for joining us, Bob.
You know, it's my pleasure.
This patriotic concert is a bit of a departure from some of the operatic things you do there, but let's start by telling us how this idea came about. Have you done this before?
No. Two years ago, a member of my audience wrote me a very nice letter saying I should do something like this. Uh-huh. And I thought I wasn't really inclined at the time because I'm kind of been down a little down on politics.
Unlike the rest of us.
Yeah. Everybody else.
We're all so psyched.
You're really, really totally
glued
with
to
it.
The TV.
Yeah, I know. Well, then we had this election. And well, I also didn't know the literature either. I didn't know was there enough out there to make an actual program. Mm-hmm. But then after the election, I thought, you know, it seems like our oligarchs, if may use that word,
but they are
want us all to be angry with each other somehow or other.
Yeah.
And right and left and all that kind of stuff. And you know, that's crazy. It does us no good, and it hides what they're really doing. It keeps, when you get people angry, they don't think well.
Or straight. You know? They don't think straight, yeah.
Yeah. So I thought, well, maybe it would be a good thing to try to do a show that reminds us all what we felt like when we first had those first twinges of patriotism.
Nostalgia.
And stuff. And we all had that.
Right.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
We all had that. And that's a heck of a thing to lose. You know, I don't want to lose that. Remember when I started my Christmas show now 12 years ago, people said, no, it was never going to work. There was never going to be, nobody was ever going to show up. And we packed the house first time and have ever since. And I don't have to advertise it anymore. And it gave me Christmas back.
That's sure. Right.
Yeah. And it reminded me of what it was like to be a choir boy and, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like literally like being in church without having to kneel.
Right.
You know what I mean? Really.
Or take communion. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Stephen Foster, what is that? My Old Kentucky Home, Camptown Races. What kind
it's
of stuff?
It's funny.
What
yeah.
kind of stuff are you singing?
Well, no, it's just A Beautiful Dreamer.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And a song called Hard Times.
Oh, yeah, I know it.
You know that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah.
That's Let us pause in life's pleasures to count its many tears while we all sup sorrow with the poor. Sup sorrow.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, his tunes were really hummable.
Yeah.
He was actually a real, really clever guy. He made his living selling music, songs. Yeah. And he wrote them all within one octave so everybody could sing them.
Right.
You know?
Brilliant.
And you took a while putting this program together. As you said, you didn't really, you knew a handful of patriotic songs like we all do. But you kind of really dive into this repertoire and find some stuff.
I spent about 2 years putting this thing together.
That's great.
Wow.
You know, the thing is that, yeah, we have some real patriotic songs. They're like God Bless America and America the Beautiful, which is a beautiful, mm-hmm. a beautiful piece and national anthem and stuff. And but we also have stuff like You Are Love, you know, from Showboat.
Oh, yeah.
From Showboat. Mm-hmm. And, I'm doing Old Man River.
Of course you are.
I have to, you know, it's like.
That voice, you better be.
Yeah.
It's like Duriger. Gotta do that.
Right.
Songs like They Call the Wind Mariah, and I get to do Ghost Riders. I mean, that's my idea of patriotism.
Right.
Why not? Yeah, nostalgia is nostalgia.
Yeah.
Whatever feels to you.
Yeah.
And you share those stories, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful.
I think that, it, you know, patriotism really is kind of nostalgia. I mean, I probably need only have said a great evening of nostalgia. You know, I don't know. I think maybe some people will be turned off by the idea of patriotism, you know.
Right.
You know? Oh, I see, as opposed to it being a buzzword today.
Yeah, right. I think I've run into a lot of people who have said, yes, I'm patriotic. That's great. I'm really glad that you're doing this thing. And I think they're really right wing. Yeah. And I don't think those guys really want to come.
Right. Surprise.
Surprise. Yeah. I don't know.
We're not talking about our patriotism today. We're talking about our overall.
The original, how we felt originally when we first thought about it, thought about the country.
Yeah. Right. And you made a point on that when we talked before, just about the separation of between politics and patriotism are two very different ideas, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then, well, tell us, you always bring an interesting cast of characters and big voices to these things. So tell me besides yourself who you have on tap for this one.
Well, I have a big personality out there that I thought was perfect for this, Warren Moulton.
Oh, yeah.
Warren is... he's kind of like an old-fashioned ringmaster.
You know? Mustache and all, right?
But he has the big mustache. Yeah. And
hilarious.
He takes over on stage. I mean, he almost pushed me off stage one time. He wants the stage. Yeah, so badly. So badly.
It's nice to have them on the docket. So you're like, you go ahead.
Yeah, that's right.
Get the lion's share.
Absolutely. Get out there. You know,
do work my your, work.
Yeah.
Do all the work for us. That's
work
great.
Your butt off. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're singing, he's singing as well? And
oh, yes.
What
yes.
other singers do you have on there?
I have John Payonk, who did Rigoletto and Pagliacci for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's an amazing, amazing performer. He sings, he does a lot of musicals all over the country.
Okay. These guys come in from Chicago mostly? Or
yeah.
Local? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, actually, John Payonk lives in North Judson. Lives in North. Is there any difference?
No.
Not really.
That's awesome.
Well, I got it right. North Judson. Okay. That's where I got my last dog, was at the pound in North Judson.
Okay. So. Any females singing on the show?
Yeah. Guys? You know, we thought we'd include them.
That's nice of you.
Yeah.
Talk about nostalgic.
Right. Yeah.
Not just handing out the program.
Yeah.
Nostalgic, misogyny, whatever.
Oh, my God.
Sure.
Same thing.
Yeah.
No.
You know, it's... well, misogyny is, you know, all of a sudden everybody's learning what that word
it's
means.
My That's favorite true. Ogyny.
Yeah.
Other right. than androgyny.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just
yeah. you know, it's so much so that nobody wants any more progeny. There you are.
Gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, although it could lead to androgyny, which
That's
is.
That's what I said, exactly.
Yeah.
And no one's sure.
No, nobody knows. No.
Now you have Sarah.
Oh, that's right. All right. Yes, we're getting back to you. Thank you.
I'm bringing you two
Thank
back
you.
In.
Rain us right. in. We need it.
Right. I got Sarah Hibbard, who also was in Pagliacci and Rigoletto. She's a fantastic singer. You know, America is very unkind to its singers. I'm sure you know, Paul.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of really wonderful singers who are not making a living singing.
Right.
And... you know, there's all different kinds of reasons. Often enough, it's luck, or they don't want to do the life. The life is
travel.
The travel thing.
And oh, yeah.
Not having
all the time.
Really, you know, not having a really your family.
Right.
You have to really, and you also have to really like Plácido Domingo. I mean, he's famous for loving to travel.
Right.
And deal with his wife that he could. Feed as much as he wanted. Right. That was also, you know, that also helped, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. It's a rough life.
Yeah.
And then,
so, but these guys are, this is Sarah is a fantastic singer, and I've got a gal named, is it okay to say gal?
Yes, you're allowed.
I think so. Because this is like for nostalgia, so I can
there,
use, I can use gal. That's good. That's
right.
good. Well, Rachel is a wonderful singer. I used her a couple years ago for Phantom of the Opera. And she has the perfect, the voice that people are used to hearing, you know, from that kind of stuff. She does it as well or better than anybody that you'll hear on record or anything
nice
else.
Nice lyric voice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Rachel
Holzhausen.
Oh, jawohl.
That's right.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, Deutsch.
She must be obeyed.
Yeah.
I let John singing as well, right?
John Payonk?
We mentioned John, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You were thinking of Concepcion.
I was thinking of Concepcion.
That's later.
Coming for Les Mis, right?
Right, we're doing Les Mis and Phantom in the beginning of August, Rachel will be in that, too.
Oh, well, that's great. And
but John does, what is it, Chairs and Tables?
Empty chairs,
right.
Chairs
and empty tables.
That's a great show, too, because you guys have done that Les Mis Phantom show before, and it's been so popular that that is why you brought it back.
we had to turn, we turned a lot of people away. And so I thought, well, let's do it again and not turn them away, because I'm sure, I think it, probably everybody who saw it will come to see it again as well.
Are you doing more than one of those?
Yeah, I'm doing three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the feel good stuff. That's
great. Yeah, it is. You know, for me, you know, I didn't really want to do them. I originally just did them for money.
Of course.
And
so we do everything.
Right, sure, whatever. Yeah. And, but one of the reasons that I didn't like the musicals is the singing. You know, well, at first I saw Les Mis for the first time with the movie of it.
Well, that's the worst.
Which was horrific.
Garbage.
Right. I mean, you know, just. And Phantom doesn't really have that much good music in it. And what is good has been stolen from Puccini.
I agree completely.
He stole some good stuff, you know, but there is about a half an hour of really nice music in Phantom.
Yeah.
And I'd say even 45, 50 minutes in Les Mis. There's some pretty, pretty good.
Doing the entire show is tedious. And
yes.
Sometimes so, you disturbing.
Know, it's always bugged me going to the opera that you had to wait sometimes 4 hours for like the one
song that you were there for.
The one song, you know.
That's in Dorma, that's, we're all sleeping.
Right. You know. You know.
Right. Well, then that's what you've done here with Harbor Country Opera. For people you don't know about this company, is you've made opera accessible to people. And people who might not think, well, I don't know if I like opera. You're breaking it down to things that where you're cutting out a lot of the
fat.
The fringe. Yeah,
yeah,
you're cutting it out, and you're getting to the arias and the big numbers and the things that people want to know.
Back then, the 4 hour, 5 hour opera, that was a happening. People came and they took three acts and five acts to take breaks and have dinner. They'd sit there. Mozart's time, they didn't even pay attention. Well, they just sat there eating, and they were watching, you know, they sort of watched, and they heard a soprano, and maybe they paid attention for 30 seconds, and the soprano said, oh, really? You know? So you're doing exactly what needs to be done in this ADD generation that's like, wants to pay attention, but you need them to pay attention.
Yeah.
Bravo.
I think that the only one that I did, well, I do often cut out choruses and lots of people, because, you know, that's complicated, and takes a lot of time.
More people,
Often choruses, though, are really pretty useless and distract, really, from their... They do them because they had them in their opera company and they needed to use them, you know?
Right.
Mozart was like that. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, practically all of them are sort of like that. I mean, in Rigoletto, I cut out almost all the whole stupid chorus. It was that's really stupid stuff.
Yeah.
I had like three guys. We did it like a New Jersey thing, you know.
Right.
And they were his guys, you know.
Right.
And that's all you really need.
It used to be all about spectacle. How many people can we fit in? How many costumes? Yeah. How big can those costumes be? And it was showing off. These companies would show off their luxury.
That's right. That's right.
So if you don't have it, what's the point of trying to?
Well, it's also a big pain, you know, to put it on. And often, often it stops the drive of the narrative as well.
The drama,
yeah. So, I mean, when I did, you know, I did Magic Flute, and I already had Tamino. So what was I going to do?
Yeah.
And I cut out all the three sisters, the three little boys. Yeah. The
armored like, men.
You know, whatever. Yeah. I call it the armored man because I played one time.
Yeah, you and me both.
Really a pain. You know.
Beautiful music.
I had people coming up to me saying, you know, it's the first time I've ever understood that opera.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
You know, because you've cut out all this fluff and you take it up, blah, 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 like that. So you're jealous and angry and, and you got it all
get
figured
to the
out.
Point, right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's great, Bob. And you guys always do a wonderful job there. And so thanks for all you do and thanks for coming in today for us.
Yeah, thanks so much, Bob. Great to see you. Harbor Country Opera presents America Sings at 8 p.m. Saturday at the Acorn Theater, 107 Generations Drive, Three Oaks. Tickets are only $25, and Bob's shows tend to sell out, so you might want to call as soon as possible, 756-3879, or visit www.acorntheater.com today. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks.
Great
Bob.
To see you.
And I have to mention, you guys did sing together back in North Carolina.
Yes, right? We did. We did sing in North Carolina.
Yeah, back then. We need to get the two of you together at some point.
We need to think so.
We need to find a way.
I have wanted to. Together. I wanted to do something
we'll
like that.
We'll make that happen.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We got to have a big stage for us.
Yeah. Big guys, big voices. Mendel Center. There you go.
Melissa Etheridge stormed onto the American rock scene in 1988 with the release of her critically acclaimed self-titled debut album. Known for her confessional lyrics and smoky vocals, she has remained one of America's favorite singer-songwriters for more than two decades. With songs such as Bring Me Some Water, the Grammy-winning hits Ain't It Heavy, I'm the Only One, and Come to My Window, and I Need to Wake Up from the film An Inconvenient Truth, for which she won the Academy Award for Best Original Song. Her latest album, 2016's Memphis Rock and Soul, pays homage to the music of Stax Records, covering classic repertoire from Memphis Train to I've Got Dreams to Remember. I recently caught up with Melissa, who performed Saturday at Four Winds Casino Resort Silver Creek Event Center. We started the conversation by talking a little bit about what to expect when she comes to town.
The last album that I did was called Memphis Rock and Soul. It's a cover album of a few Stax songs that came out of the 50s and 60s and 70s. It's really a lot of the music that inspired me and music that I've always wanted to sing and play. And so I'm doing a couple of those tracks. You're going to hear, of course, the hits. We love to play the songs that everybody wants to sing at the top of their lungs. And usually dive in and do a couple of old, you know, I'll find something off Yes I Am or something, you know, just the song here and there, but it's guaranteed a good time. We've been having a lot of fun so far.
I also asked her what made her feel it was time to look back at the music that inspired her in the first place.
Well, when I was younger, when I was in my teens, I started singing other people's songs in bars and, you know, places, clubs and things and bars. I learned by singing and listening to music. I was a music lover. I also wrote music. And as I developed into my career, I really wanted to be a singer-songwriter. It was very important that the songs I wrote and the music come through me and I create all this. And then now 30 years later, I think, you know what? I can sing someone else's song right now. I can go back and interpret something that inspired me and that I feel is still relevant in this time, that this music that so many have been inspired by still exists and still exists in our the today's music that we listen to. So I just wanted to I just felt it was time. It's just a lot of fun to do.
Now, after years of toiling in both Boston and California music scenes, it was that self-titled debut album released in 88 that became an underground success, peaking at number 22 on the Billboard 200 with its lead single, Bring Me Some Water. It also garnered Etheridge her first Grammy Award nomination for Best Rock Vocal Performance.
You know, I came out to California after Boston thinking, okay, well, California, they've got the acoustic, you know, Eagles, you know, Fleetwood Mac, Jackson Browne, I was on that kind of Southern California thing. And then when I got here in 1982, it was Guns and the hair bands and, you know, it was spandex and roses and, you know, it was all the big hair scene. So it took me a long time. I played in some bars outside of Los Angeles just to make a living, and it took me 5 years before record companies would come out to see me, but it took 5 years of that before I got my first album. And then so when I finally made the first album in 1987, it was released in 1988, then I felt like I was finally out of that bar circuit and I was actually in this more national, international circuit, and it just holding on since then.
Yeah. And it really wasn't even until Yes I Am it came out that it kind of blew the doors open and everybody kind of started knowing who you were with I'm the Only One. What did you see, like, with that album, did you see kind of a jump in just your audiences and people who are coming to your shows? And tell me about experiencing that kind of level of success, because that certainly put you in a whole new level.
Yeah, I was happy that I got to put out three albums before my fourth album went really, really huge.
Yeah.
So I've got to have a certain amount of, you know, success and I could play and I kind of got used to it before I was, you know, it took about 7 years of playing before I played, like, you know, big, huge arenas that were mine. So I was very, very lucky to be able to, you know, expand my career slowly that way. So that felt good. And then it was really, amazing when, you know, slowly a song catches on and you know it's your song and people are loving it and they don't stop loving it. It feels really great.
Yeah.
Still feels great. When I start coming to my window, it still feels good. Everybody's screaming and hollering and loving it and it's their own and I dig that.
Now, Melissa, who is part of the LGBT community, came out very publicly in the 90s at a time when she wasn't sure how people would react.
Reporters and newspapers, that was all, you know, and on television, that was the only way to get your message across. So slowly, every interview I did over years and years, they would say, you know, it's okay if I ask about this? And I'd say yes. And that's what coming out was just being willing to say, yes, you know, I'm gay and this is my life and this is what I know. I don't have all the answers, but this is what I know. And the reason I came out was because it was very personal. It did not have to do with, I didn't know what would happen at all. There were, literally a handful of people that I knew that were out, that were, you know, on a public stage. There was Martina Navratilova. Really, and that was kind of, you know, it. John wasn't even out. You know,
right.
No one had really, you know, jumped across that, into that river. So I couldn't, what really pushed me over, it had been a few years of, you know, well, I'm just going to answer, I'm just going to use non-specific gender. I'm always just going to say them, they, you know, whatever, but I'm not going to come out unless someone asked me. And I always waited for someone to ask me. No one did. There's this kind of don't ask, don't tell. And so finally, I had done an interview where I was very careful not to say anything about another gender, and the interviewer went back and changed all what I said to my boyfriend. And I was like, oh my God, it looks like I'm completely lying. And that just really made me kind of crazy because it felt out of control. And there were people, I had a small, you know, following, I had quite a big, you know, kind of cult following of LGBT people, and they're going to see that. And it just made me feel awful. So I said, I have to come out. And I was also involved politically with Bill Clinton and a lot of people who were working against the AIDS crisis. Right. And so those two things melded together at the inauguration. And I just went, oh, I'm just coming out. I didn't even think about it. I just stepped up to a microphone and at a press inaugural ball. And I said, oh, I'm glad I'm gay. And woo, that was it.
Now, last June, after 49 people died and another 58 were wounded in a hate crime attack at Inside Pulse, the gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida, Melissa sat down and wrote the song titled Pulse. Let's take a listen to it.
Everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats with my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Once again I hang my head to cry. I can't find the reason why they died. We will find the answer blowing in the wind. That everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats with my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Who you gonna hate now when there's no one left but you? Who you gonna gun down if you can't kill the truth that's inside of us? It's inside our blood. It's inside of us.
That was the song Pulse, written by Melissa Etheridge.
Beautiful.
From the shooting in Orlando last year. And now here's a little bit about what she said about writing it.
That was art as therapy for me.
Yeah. Like
there are times where I'm very grateful to be able to put emotion into a song, put it somewhere. And I just started writing it and not even thinking about giving it to the world at all until I was almost done with it. And then I thought, I'd like to just, you know, record this. This is just, you know, how I'm feeling. This is how I'm trying to wrap my head around it and, you know, get the horror and the sorrow, you know, under control in my head. And so I called my friend Jerry Wanda, who I've worked with a lot, a producer, and he's got a studio there in New York City. That's where I was. And he cleared his schedule for the day, and I went in with those musicians, and we recorded it. They mixed it. They stayed up all night, mixed it, and it was out on the internet the next day. It was just something I wanted to, you know, put out in the world, just to try to you know, put as much good out there as there is the hard stuff.
Now, Melissa Etheridge just put a lot of good out there. Once again, she performs at 9 o'clock Saturday at Four Winds Casino Resort Silver Creek Event Center. They're in New Buffalo. Tickets range from $55 up to $85. For details, call 866-494-6371 or visit www.fourwindscasino.com.
Another busy, busy weekend for arts and entertainment here in Southwest Michigan. Here's a rundown of some of the other events to check out. The SMSO, Southwest Michigan Symphony Orchestra, kicks off its summer season with the Psychedelic Orchestra. Guest artist Kathy Richardson, who is the lead vocalist for Jefferson Starship, and rock and roll violin virtuoso Ann Harris at 7:30 p.m. Saturday at Gene Clark Pavilion, 100 Gene Clark Beach Park Boulevard in Benton Harbor. Tickets are $25 for reserve seating, $15 for adult lawn seating, and $5 for children age 12 and younger. All tickets increase by $5 the day of the concert. For details, call 982-4030 or www.smso.org. Also, the Livery Brewery in the Benton Harbor Arts District will be hopping all weekend, as usual. Flatland Harmony Experiment returns for a 9 p.m. Friday concert. Shiny Shiny Black plays at 9 p.m. Saturday. And the Andrew Fisher Quartet is back for their monthly Sunday night jazz gig at 7 p.m. Sunday. All these things at the Livery, 195th Street, Benton Harbor. All three shows are free. Awesome. For more info, call the Livery 925-8760 or visit www.liverybrew.com.
And speaking of hopping, the New Territory Arts Association holds its Summer Solstice Art Hop from 6 to 9 p.m. Friday at multiple venues in and around the Benton Harbor Arts District, which is located basically between Water Street and Territory Road down in downtown Benton Harbor. Most events are free. Among the highlights, though, are an exhibit of Richard Hunt's personal African art collection at the Anarusa Sieber Gallery, ARS. And that actually is going to start an hour earlier. It's actually a fundraiser as well. So that's, I think, a $50 ticket, but it goes from 5 to 6, and Richard's going to be there, and he's going to be signing posters, and actually did a book of the art as well. So that's going to be there. She's Italian like me. She always puts out a good spread, so there's a lot
exactly.
of food there. So check that out. And then another one of the highlights of Art Hop happening is the new pop-up gallery, the Fun Squad, which is there right next to the dance building there on Hinckley Street. This is a bunch of local artists who got together. I think Nathan Margoni over at the Krause Art Center is the ringleader of this. Him and Tammy Miller over at the Krause, and Kara Garnett is one of the artists. He was here earlier in the studio today. She has stuff in there, as well as Josh Mason and a bunch of other locals. So it should be a really fun event.
A nondescript building with the big words fun. one on the side of it.
Yes.
Yeah. In green. It's 123 Hinckley Street.
Yeah.
And a new building to most people. So come check it out.
Yeah. So that should be a lot of fun. So again, to find out more about the Art Hop, you can check out the new website, the brand new website that the NTAA just put up. That is newterritoryarts.org.
Also, Saturday, June 16th, is the annual 2017 Lake Effect Pride event for the Out Center. That's June 16th at 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. The Lake Effect Pride event will focus on love and will take place on June 16th at Pebblewood. This is the Out Center's largest fundraising event of the year. There will be food, drinks, music, and we will reward LGBT allies and friends who have the most helped the Out Center and the local LGBT community in the past year. It's awesome, fun-filled time, meaningful time for our entire community to come together. It is Pride Month. Allies are encouraged to come and show support for building a community that cares. Let's make 2017 the most attended and most fun event yet. There's a $10,000 raffle that Anna Russo Zieber won.
She won last year. So, yeah.
Yeah, maybe she'll win again.
Maybe she will.
She's an important artist in our community.
So that'll do it for this week's Breaking Character. Be sure to join us again next Thursday when we'll be talking about the annual Coming Home, Coming Together concert in Benton Harbor and more. Of course, you can also read about many of these events we discuss here in Sight and Sound, weekly entertainment guide that appears each Thursday in the Herald Palladium, or follow me on my Facebook writer page under Jeremy D. Bonfiglio, or on Twitter at HP Bonfiglio.
You can follow me on Facebook at Paul Mau Productions, or on Twitter at PM Tenor. We want to thank our engineer, Louis Krajewski, and everyone here at Midwest Family Broadcasting for the use of the studios. My buddy Andrew Wyatt of the band Mike Snow for Black and Blue is our theme song, and to our sponsors, Mendel Center, Lake Michigan College, the Herald Palladium, Twin City Players, and the Mason Jar Cafe. Please subscribe to Breaking Character at 98.3 The Coast, WSJam.com, or find it on the websites of the Herald Palladium, Mendel Center, or via iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Thanks again for listening to Breaking Character.